Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Very busy Tuesday. Rob and Suk, your sports bros, tackling all the big issues like urinals.
Sodded.
Coming up this hour, Joe Harrington in Studio 530. We'll talk about the Oregon offensive woes and what he thinks they need to do to fix them. Tonight in the club, 6 to 7, in my great and unmatched wisdom, I will present the following stories.
I believe your wisdom has been matched by else's stable genius, unmatched wisdom.
See, we had so there was a witness in the Amber Geiger trial who ended up dead.
Yeah, he got shot and killed, and he was afraid to testify because he thought he'd get shot and killed.
Broheem.
Now, I don't know what the details are of it, but yeah, it's horrible.
He got shot and killed.
Well, I know, but
he ran into a bullet.
Well, I don't think he ran into it. I think the bullet sought him out.
Total accident.
Oh, yeah, it was to freak.
Unlucky.
Yeah, as the car sped away.
Also, a groom sexually assaults a bridesmaid. The bride catches groom in the act. Do they get married?
Oh, yeah, I did see this one. Now, you might be surprised by the answer. Is it really, shouldn't you wait? Is that better or worse to, like, should you wait till after you're married, or do you do the...
To sexually assault someone?
Oh, no, that was the cheating thing. I was thinking not the sexual assault, but like, sorry.
God.
No, I was just thinking cheating. Like, I'm always fascinated by the person that cheats, like, because you hear those stories, like, you cheat on the wedding day. Like...
Yeah, that's, yeah, well... How about we talk about that in the club, huh?
Sorry. Yes, I was thinking just cheating, not sexual assault.
Yeah, two different things.
Because I did see that story.
Okay, great. Well, that'll be in the club. Joey, 5:30. And then in our next segment, we'll talk international sports incident. Fascinating story out of the NBA. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
They've got a nut in their mouth, and it's really cute.
Hiya! A paya!
Number five.
Blazers-Nuggets preseason opener is tonight. It'll be on ESPN. The game will be played out at Memorial Coliseum, which is the throwback to the Blazers' original gangstas.
Yeah, they're using the throwback court, which is going to be used this year, and they've got the retro jerseys, and that's going to be cool for 12 minutes, and then you're going to realize what a crappy building the Coliseum still is.
They will be in vintage uniforms to tip this season off. They will be...
I love the look of the throwbacks. I hope that those become like a permanent in the rotation.
They look great. Their 50th anniversary season. So the game tips at 7:30. Hassan Whiteside, Zach Collins, they've been nursing minor injuries. They hope to play no Jokic or Bol Bol for Denver.
And yet it doesn't matter because it's the first preseason game. Although the Lakers had theirs a couple days ago, and they sent out a warning to the rest of the NBA.
They still got that white guy that looks like a math teacher.
Yes.
Love him.
Yeah, he's all ripped now. He still has
he still has
the worst haircut known to man, but like he got in shape. I don't know why he didn't just shave that awful radiation hair off.
Oregon.
That's what he looks like. It is terrible.
Is that appropriate or
that's what it looks like?
Radiation hair?
It's awful. Yes, it's a terrible thing.
Oregon men's basketball picked to win the Pac-12 by a slight margin over Colorado. Washington and Arizona picked third and fourth. The Beavers picked 7th by the media. Wayne Tinkle, Beavers coach, getting a one-year extension today on his contract. The Oregon men's team does play Memphis, Houston, and Michigan in the non-conference this season. You remember Memphis now has Penny Hardaway as their coach, and they have the number one recruiting class in the country. The Pac-12 media picking Oregon to win the women's Pac-12 as well. Stanford picked 2nd there, and then Oregon State 3rd. Watch out, Dallas Cowboys. Quarterback Sam Darnold is over the kissing disease, and he will start for the Jets on Sunday.
Yes, the spleen apparently is A-OK, although if you think that Sam Darnold is going to fix what ails the Jets, I got news for you. They still suck.
Thursday night football this week is Giants hosting the Patriots. New York unlikely to have running back Saquon Barkley back. He's still hurt. No rookie quarterback has ever beaten Bill Belichick at home. Wait, is this game in New England or now I'm confused. Is it New England or New York?
I'll have to look this up. I'm not 100%
sure. I believe
certain.
It is New England.
Yeah, I think it is New England. I misspoke. It's not the Giants hosting the Patriots. It's the Patriots hosting the Giants, which is why I have this little nugget for you, which is that no rookie quarterback has ever beaten Bill Belichick at home. 11 have tried, 11 have failed.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Fox NFL Sunday just got a little more interesting, too. They announced the hire of former Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski. He will be an analyst.
What if Gronk is really, really good? Like, we all think of him as just some sort of big, dumb meathead, but what if he comes in and just blows everyone's mind? He doesn't seem like the most articulate person in the world. But then again, Jason Witten got a job.
Maybe he's like a simple guy that can dumb it down for all the meatheads out there.
It's possible.
And they'll be like, oh, this guy's great.
Well,
finally.
You can't be dumb and play in that offense.
Where are we? Number two?
Who does number two work for?
Rays, the early 3-0 lead on the Astros in game 4 of the ALDS in Tampa. They're in the bottom of the 2nd, and Tampa has 2 on with 2 out against Justin Verlander, who has looked shaky so far.
Already at 56 pitches.
Yeah, the most ever for a 2-inning game for him in the postseason.
Now, remember, he's pitching on short rest for the first time ever in the postseason, and it's a little awkward because Verlander demanded to pitch this game, and Hinch said, okay, yeah, you're pretty good, all right.
So they got a travel day. If this doesn't go their way, then I'm assuming it would be Gerrit Cole, and would he be on short rest, or because of the travel day, would he be full rest?
I'm not 100% certain on that. I feel like I heard someone say Cole on short rest, but that could just be a mistake. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember when these games all blend together. I can't remember when that game was. He pitched. He struck out 15. That was like...
It was game 2.
Yeah, was it...
Wasn't that Saturday?
Friday?
Not certain.
I think it was Saturday.
But he was untouchable. But then again, so was Verlander in game 1. And here we are, you know, going into the third inning and it's 3-0.
In a meeting last week, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred reportedly threatened that the Oakland A's will move to Las Vegas. Wow. Wait a minute. Where's Portland?
Not mentioned. Although it did say in the statement, Vegas or elsewhere.
So, well, he wants the city of Portland to drop their lawsuit against Alameda County and their battle over what to do with the Coliseum property. Basically, he just wants to pave the way.
Not the city of Portland, the city of Oakland.
Right. He wants to pave the way for the county to sell part of that land to the A's so that they can get on with their new stadium deal. So the deal behind this is, one, he's threatening Vegas because Oakland has already lost a team to Vegas. So that's why he uses Vegas here. But MLB is also said to be increasingly interested in Vegas due to the legalized gambling angle and their partnerships with big money casinos. And the other aspect that's come out of this story is that Major League Baseball may be looking for sweetheart real estate deals to go along with any new ballparks. In other words, they want a cut of the surrounding buildup and infrastructure around any new ballpark. In this instance, Vegas could potentially offer better deals in that regard than Portland.
Although Portland's, depending on the site, I mean, that's one of the things they've talked about, right? Building up restaurants and real estate around there and not having to just be a ballpark, but you're right.
The question is how much of a cut baseball gets of that.
Well, if you're Portland, I would assume you give them whatever cut you want to try to get them here. And by the way, I know that's disappointing, but it also doesn't mean the end. Even if this were to happen and it's not just a power play to try to get this lawsuit dropped and so they could build it in Oakland, we all knew all along that one of the avenues could be expansion. And so if the A's end up moving to Vegas and the Rays were to end up going to Montreal or staying put, that still leaves expansion there. And if they do end up in Vegas and they do want to put a team out west, which they've said all along, there's not many cities out west now that you got rid of Las Vegas. So as depressing as this was to hear that maybe you're getting passed over again, I don't necessarily think that is the end all to be all about getting a baseball team out of here if they move to Vegas.
Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win an Oregon-branded Yeti cooler anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. All right, let's talk about this international sports incident involving the NBA in China. Next, Joey Harrington in studio at 5:30 on The Fan.
The Tournament's Megan Rapinoe.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Jolton Joey Harrington in studio next segment. He's moving it up this week because normally on Friday, because we've got the Colorado-Oregon game on The Fan Friday. So if you want to know what ails the Oregon offense and how to fix it, Joey's your man next segment. But this Daryl Morey thing is quite something.
Boy, it set off a whole firestorm here.
He's the Rockets general manager who, rather mundanely, tweeted a sort of like a just a
support.
Well, it's just a picture of something that says "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong," and he tweeted that and has since deleted it because it has caused an international incident, basically. So Daryl Morey is standing with protesters in Hong Kong who, for several months now, have been pro-democracy and fighting against a repressive government.
Yeah, and we've seen, I mean, one of the protesters got shot in the chest. I mean, if you haven't paid any attention to this, it's
escalating.
Yes.
It's getting more violent. And China routinely, you know, imprisons and tortures dissenters. And it all started over an extradition bill and, like, what they call fugitive offenders bill. They've just got a lot of politics over there. But anyway, Daryl Morey was in support of the pro-democracy movement,
yeah,
which an American citizen promoting democracy should always be okay.
Well, China did not think so.
But
they
in this instance, it was not. And it has caused such a stir that the NBA is really having to... This is probably the tightest tightrope they've ever had to walk.
Well, because China is such a big deal to the NBA. It's a billion people. They're basketball crazy. It's an emerging market.
Well, they said it's worth between the NBA's relationship with China, and this could be TV deals, shoe deals, sponsorship deals, you know, just everything all encompassing is worth about $800 million to $1 billion. Per year.
Yes. And you
see the NBA.
So many of these players now, they spend their offseason, you know, from Dame and CJ, they you know, to the Michael Jordans and the Kobe Bryants of the world, that they all go over to China now, like on these barnstorming tours to promote different things because it's just such a basketball crazy market. You're seeing more and more NBA players, including CJ, that have Klay Thompson has one of these where they have Asian shoe deals. Was it like Li Ning, I think, is a big one over there where they're just. There's more money to be made over there in endorsements than there is here in the United States.
So let's cut to the chase here. I mean, this is disappointing. The NBA has long turned its back on basically human rights violations from China to get the monies. But it's not surprising. I mean, big business is oftentimes it can mean moral compromise because there are conflicting goals. I mean, is it possible to want... You're running a multi-billion dollar industry, the NBA. Is it even possible to want to profit, and it is a for-profit business, make no mistake, to want to grow and expand and be international and continue to grow? Is it possible to do that and remain 100% morally ethical? Is that even possible?
I don't think so. I mean, look, anytime we put gas in our cars, right? You're talking about, you know, our relationship with a lot of the Middle Eastern countries, and we know that don't have the best record of human rights there.
But that's not to give him an excuse. I'm just saying that it's just a fine line. And the issue to me has always been basic greed, but also that companies and leaders, I think just oftentimes, particularly in the U.S., don't really seem to understand their higher standard. You know, it doesn't matter. And like you get situations like Enron, and then you get situations like Goldman Sachs, and all of a sudden big business has become like the evil empire over here. It didn't used to be that way. I mean, it used to be that was the sign of American prosperity and like innovation. And
yeah, not so much.
It just isn't anymore. It's really wild. So I guess I would ask this on this topic, where along the line could the NBA have stopped and done the right thing? Should they have not ever gone into business with China knowing this stuff? Once basketball started getting bigger there, did they have a responsibility to speak up? Should they never have taken their money? Does ending a relationship with China now ring hollow? Is it the Yao Ming thing? I mean, you know, where was the misstep? Because now you're just having to PR this thing.
Well, and you're trying to, right? Like, for every time you take a step and you try to apologize, then people get pissed at you, and then you try to take a step back and you defend Daryl Morey and you defend one of your owners, and then that gets you in further trouble with China, and they're canceling games and they're painting over advertisements over there, and you have a full-fledged just S storm on your hands. Those are all really good questions that I can't even begin to fathom. I honestly don't. When you are in charge of a $1 billion business, Adam Silver, and growing that business, I don't know where that line is. I would like to take the Pollyanna view and simply say that, you know, that human rights and I don't know, standing for something should be more important. But that is a very naive, and it's an easy thing for me to say because I'm not in charge of a $1 billion business. Oh, and by the way, probably half of the stuff in my closet is made in China. So am I a giant hypocrite for saying that, oh yeah, human rights matter? Meanwhile, I buy Nike shoes that are made by a kid over there making 6 cents an hour in a sweatshop.
Well, when you bring up Adam Silver, he's in a tough spot now, but remember the league was in bed with China long before he took over.
Sure.
So, you know,
did he really have the ability to come in and say that we're not going to do business because we don't like your politics?
Right. And so it's tough because a lot of people are pissed off that, hey, NBA is like the king franchise in America about speaking out for, you know, on social issues and very progressive and social justice and this and that. But they've looked the other way on China for many, many years. So now a lot of their BS rings hollow, like the bathroom thing and the All-Star game in Charlotte,
where they moved it because of that. And, you know, some people are giving Steve Kerr crap because Steve Kerr has been pretty outspoken, and I actually didn't mind what Steve Kerr said. He said, I don't know enough about this.
See, I was thoroughly disappointed in
him. Were you?
Thoroughly disappointed in him because Steve Kerr punted. And that tells you a ton.
But see, I don't think it necessarily does, because if you aren't up on this.
Oh, he's up on it, dude. That guy knows. That dude is as dialed in as anybody in the league on these types of issues. As a matter of fact, his family comes from a long line of politics and dealing in that. He knows. All he came out and said was he doesn't know enough to comment, which is a total punt. And we're used to him kind of being like this real voice of reason. So I was thoroughly disappointed in him. Now, Greg Popovich is the other guy that everybody's waiting to hear from. Mm-hmm. He did come out today and he basically just said, hey, I stand behind Daryl Morey's right to stand behind the pro-democracy folks in Hong Kong.
Yes. And so that's what I don't fully understand is why you can't.
Well, Silver has eventually settled on that.
Yes, he settled on that, which is what you should have said in the first place, right? And be like, look, we're a league of individual owners, and, you know, individual owners have the right. And I don't think you should ever get bashed by your company for supporting human rights. But like I said, I think there's a lot of hypocrisy here. And if we're going to say, well, Steve Kerr needs to say this or he, then let's all give crap to CJ, because CJ does business with a Chinese shoe company. That is where his money comes from. And he goes over there every year. And Damian Lillard goes on a tour every year in China to promote his sneakers to kids that live under an authoritarian government. So should we bash Dame and CJ too? Or is an element to, I don't know, sure, you're making money, but are you also building inroads there? You know, does anyone that doesn't share your democratic view, is it like a blockade, kind of a North Korea, Cuba sort of thing, where you got a Cold War going, look, we're not going to do anything with you. You don't do anything with us. I just think before you start throwing shade at Daryl Morey or Adam Silver or Steve Kerr or CJ or Dame or whatever, be careful. Because like I said, this world politics, and especially when you're dealing with a country that's as big as China is, and all of our businesses are so intertwined, and they own, what, a third of our debt or whatever it is. It's just really hard to make these bold, sweeping statements about you should have done this, you should have done that.
That's very complicated.
It's far above my pay grade and my understanding.
Well,
every American should have the right to stand up for freedom and democracy. So I have no problem with what Daryl Morey did, but it certainly set off something that's not going to go away anytime soon. And someone on the Better You Today text line said it, well, this will blow over in the United States in a week or two. This isn't blowing over in China. Right. This is a much bigger deal to them than it is here. And this isn't the first time that they flex their muscle. I just off the top of my head, speaking of entertainment, I remember when they were doing the Red Dawn movie. Remember that, the remake?
Yeah.
And the original invaders were China.
That's right.
And China went to them and said, no, the movie was shot. It was edited, all that. And they're like, nope. You do this, it's not getting released in one screen here. And they went back to the tune of millions upon millions of dollars, and they reshot scenes, changed everything, and they made it to North Koreans. Why? So they can put the movie out. And movie companies do this all the time, where they change movies and have two separate drafts, one for the rest of the world and one for China, because we want their business.
Yep, it's scary, man. Well, Adam Silver's going over there. He said they've already canceled. The Lakers are playing a game there. The Nets, I think.
It's the Lakers and the Nets, and they're going to play it.
They're going to play it, but they're not going to televise it in China. Yeah. China has already said they won't broadcast it, but Silver is going over there to try to smooth this over. Half the league salivating over Daryl Morey being fired so they can pick him up, I would think, because Daryl Morey's like a really good GM.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel bad in a sense for him in this, and that he was an American citizen promoting democracy. Is that really such a crime?
No, but boy, it turned into something.
The people there watch state-run news, which portrays, and the state-run news there portrays Hong Kong protesters as violent rioters.
Yes,
and so they're pissed.
Need to be pushed down.
So this is really, really complex. So Adam Silver is going to earn that big fat paycheck. All right, Joey Harrington is coming up next in studio, normally on Fridays. He's coming in today because we have the Colorado-Oregon game this Friday. We will ask him how he fixes Oregon's offense. Next, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, what a treat. Jason, are you ready for a Tuesday visit from Joey Harrington?
Normally I have to build up throughout the course of the week, so, you know, this is throwing me off my game a little bit. Like, the excitement hasn't built quite as much, so I'm a little nervous.
So you're not excited to see me?
Nervous.
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 Well, let's be honest. You guys threw me the curveball as you called me. It's like, hey, we've got a Friday Duck game. And, you know, apparently the Ducks are more important than your guys' show. So we're not going to be on. So we need to find another day to do it.
Well, there's a lot of things more important than our show. I mean, like Oregon football.
Like what? Like what?
High school football?
Yeah, high school football. Yeah, you know, women's
what
golf.
Else? What else?
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
You?
Yeah.
No, stop it.
Your wonderful vest you're wearing right now.
It's that tweener time of year,
you're
right?
So right.
It's good vest weather. You know?
I wore a vest today, too, and you're so right. It's vest weather because you got to keep the torso warm.
But it could be like 60 by the end of the day.
Right. Yeah.
Or
it
could rain. Yeah.
That's right.
You know? So it's a little cold in the morning.
The vest is like the Swiss Army knife.
Love
of the, for men, like around this time, you'll notice women all, for whatever reason, are wearing some sort of weird cape and tall boots. When
cape.
Fall, when yeah, they like
and a
shawl.
Weird cape. I think that's the technical term for it. It came out of
everything's weird.
Vienna and and Milan. The weird cape is
look
the new
around.
Fall
it's,
fashion.
It's like the they just took like a blanket and they cut a hole out of the middle of it, and you just kind of throw that on, and then you got to wear the tall boots. That's the women's fall wardrobe.
Okay.
And then for men, it's vest weather.
Okay.
That's when the vest comes out. It's you know, kind of a universal wardrobe for men and women come this time of year.
Fair enough. I didn't realize that Souk was such a fashionista.
He's got opinions on everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Joey is in today because, well...
Because you're not here on Friday.
Yeah, the Colorado game is kicking us off the air on Friday. And for the last 3 weeks, dispensing justice...
Like a hammer.
Yeah, I bet.
The hammer of justice.
I bet. Now, let me ask you this about that. I know you can't talk about it, obviously.
I can.
Oh, you can?
I'm full. I'm ready to go. Case is done.
Did you fry him up?
Oh, guilty as you and you. No, we ended in a hung jury and a mistrial.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
3 weeks of testimony and 3 days of deliberation. And by about 10 a.m., 11 o'clock on the third day, we said, look, we're not getting anywhere.
What did he do?
Well, so
it was
a civil case. It was a civil case.
Uh-huh.
And it was an employee filing suit against Union Pacific Railroad.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. So
now there wasn't any issue with your famous face being on the panel. I mean, it's like you're famous. Everybody knows you. So like how
one that's making a big assumption. That's
so
a big
nobody
jump.
In there knew you.
That's what you're assuming that everybody in. Okay, I didn't say that either. What you're doing is you're assuming that everybody in the Portland metropolitan area thinks like you do in the terms of sports talk radio, right?
No, but, I'm not assuming that. I just think that they would know who you are.
You're a recognizable figure.
Yeah. Yeah. And
does
I don't
that
think,
mean I can't be unbiased?
No, but I think it does mean that they would probably kick you out. Like if the perp knew you, well, it's a civil case. So if anybody knew you, I would think they wouldn't allow that.
But I didn't know anybody on, but I didn't know them. Okay. And that's the okay. question. You know, they asked if I knew any of the lawyers or the witnesses. And, no, you know, I did have a funny moment though. I'm walking out of the jury room into the jury box, and I walk right by somebody that I make eye contact with. She works at the Rose Garden, and she's right. She works in the section right where our tickets are, and, you know, say hello and, you know, talk to her every game. And I walked right by her in the gallery is what they call it. And I had that moment like, oh God, is she going to be testifying? Is she related to the plaintiff? Is there some sort of connection here? Like the last thing I want is to have some issue, you know, some mistrial at the end comes out that, you know, Joey didn't say anything. So I got to the jury box and, you know, the judge starts to go down. All right, you know, let's call the next witness. And I raised my hand and said, Your Honor, I have something I think I need to talk with you in chambers about. And I told him, I was like, look, I know.
Nice.
And, I told him, look, I recognize that woman. I know where she's from. Other than just pleasantries and saying hello and, you know, how you're doing, I don't know anything more than that. But I just wanted to make you aware of that. Come to find out that it was the defense attorney's mother-in-law.
No.
So it had no impact.
Had no impact in the... And she just happened to be there. And I had no idea. And he said, when we talked about her afterwards, or at the end of the day, he's like, yeah, at the end of the trial, when you find out, you're just going to kind of laugh. And I did.
Nice.
Well, and then I found $20.
Normally with us at 5:30 on Fridays.
Righteous
but,
bucks.
Oregon football this week, so we've moved it to Tuesday. But back in studio, so that's nice. Now, everybody's griping about Oregon's offense. That's the big thing. While you were away dispensing justice, actually...
Hammer of justice.
Hung jury.
The hammer of balance.
Oregon wins, but nobody's satisfied with that.
I'm gonna go ahead and say you're jumping and you're
a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
But you know that's what we do.
When people get angry, they tweet. And then we take that as some sort of universal truth. In case you didn't know.
Got it. Yeah. Continue.
Welcome to 2000. What is this?
19.
I think it's 19.
There you go.
So great offensive line, stud quarterback. Why is the offense not better?
Because they don't have any superstars at running back or wide receiver. I mean, that's true. They have very good. They got some good players, but they're not game changers. And I think also, look, this is a bigger issue or a bigger topic. Which good thing I'm in studio and we have a couple segments to talk about it. This is 10, 15 years of Oregon fans being spoiled. This is a, and when I say spoiled, I mean getting so used to just explosive offensive performances at every moment that they think that's normal. But it's also a change of culture too. And you have to look at the bigger picture here. So Chip Kelly comes in and revolutionizes offensive football. I mean, what he was doing was so far ahead of the curve that you could just show up and, you know, kick off and look up at the scoreboard and Oregon's up 40. And that's how it was for 10 games a season. Interestingly enough, though, what happened in those games when Oregon was challenged, right? When they had to fight it out, when they had to gut out a win. So let's table that over here. Now you've got Coach Cristobal, who has out and out said, and you know, frankly, I think we can all kind of agree, maybe to the detriment to, in the Auburn game, I'm going to establish a tough, hard-nosed, I don't want to say non-explosive, but that is kind of the byproduct of what he has established. Mm-hmm. Well, what has happened is they have a top 10 defense, not just in the you know, not top 10 in the conference, like we're, you know, used to saying, hey, they're, you know, they're not last place in the Pac-12. No, they're giving up 9 points a game. This defense is incredible. And yes, offensively, they're not scoring 35, 40 a game. But they're efficient, right? This is, Justin Herbert is 12th, 13th in passing efficiency.
Completing almost 70% of his passes.
Yeah, just threw his first interception against, first interception in game five of the season against a Cal defense that hasn't given up three touchdowns in almost a year and a half. Right. And so now you look at this from a, I'd say, more reasonable lens. This is an Oregon football team with a very good offensive line, with one of, if not the best quarterback in the country, and above average players around them. That doesn't, and a coaching staff that has established a tough, hard-nosed, grinded-out mentality on offense and defense. You combine that with what Oregon is used to seeing from Chip and his high-flying offense and only offense, and you've got a situation where you're looking at a picture saying, gosh, what's wrong? I look at the picture and say, you clean up a turnover, you can't turn the ball over in the red zone. Which exactly. And even if you get rid of two of them, you're still scoring 30 points in that game, which is going to win you lots and lots of football games. So I look at that and say, you got a defense that's top 10 in the country, that's giving up for the first time since 1964. I mean, it's something crazy that they've given up the fewest touchdowns through this point of the season in 50 years. You've got a quarterback who is, and I don't want to call him the best game manager, but I wouldn't want anybody else managing this game. And I've got an offensive line that is going to grind it out in November. And these, it's funny because this is the type of team that at some point Oregon fans wish they had 10 years ago, right? This is the type of team that they wish they had when Toby Gerhart and Stanford was beating them. This is the type of team that they wish they had when Ohio State was beating them in the Rose Bowl. And this is, and or when Ohio State was beating them in the championship game, right? This is the type of team that you wanted to have to be able to stand up to those tough November, grind it out, Big Ten, SEC type opponents. And that's what you got now. But it's so foreign to what we've known that I think that we're really caught off guard and don't quite understand, you know, I don't say you don't understand what you're wishing for. Yeah, now let me say there are things you can clean up.
Well, it doesn't look as pretty.
Exactly.
Is the thing.
It doesn't look as flashy.
Well, my two things about it are, you know, outside of Auburn, which, you know,
Second half at Auburn,
right?
Smelly.
You haven't played a real offense yet, and it's going to get a lot harder. We know it's going to get a lot harder.
Fair.
But, you know, Cal is really bad offensively. Fair. Stanford is anemic. So the best offenses that you are going to play are still to come. And
true.
So I think some people look at that and say, you know, if you're struggling, you know, if you play this sort of offense, you know, this is where you're going to get nicked because you're not going to hold everyone to 9 points. You know, you're going to be in a lot of close games. Whether that leads to 9 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins, you don't know. You're going to be in every game because of the defense, but I think that's where some people look at and be like, the offense is going to have to be better when you play better offenses. The only part that I kind of scratch my head at a little bit is I get the idea of building a tough mentality, but the number of times they run into obvious run fronts where you're running into 8 and sometimes 9 men lurking around the box, and I don't know, the refusal to give, and this is where I wanted to ask you, the refusal to give Justin more control. I'm assuming by the time you were a senior, you had a lot of freedom in what you want to do. It doesn't appear to me that there's a whole lot here because they run into, even in first down, they do not audible out of seemingly, I'm not going to say insurmountable odds, but looks that just not even watching game film that I look at and be like, why are you running into that?
Well, I mean, I can't speak to that. I mean, I don't know what, you know, I don't know anything about the offense that they've installed. And I really don't know anything about their offensive philosophy.
And I don't either, which is why I'm always afraid.
Exactly.
Everyone's an armchair quarterback and you're like, well, you should do this and that. I don't know. It's just from my lens that I watch. And again, it's not like I have all 22 and watching. I would be frustrated with the amount of times to me there's wasted downs trying to establish the tough culture.
Well, here's what I'll say. The only thing I can say in my experience, yes, I did have more control as a senior. I would say probably on a third of the calls. we would have, you know, we just called packages, a strong side run, a weak side run, and a pass based on, you know, you get up to the line of scrimmage, you know, whether the nose, you know, do you have a true nose over the top of the center? Do you have a one technique? What's your end doing? What's your coverage shell?
Well, it's just a count, right?
Exactly, right. But the way that I would almost has... I'm curious to know. I'd be curious to know myself, because I didn't stand up and say, hey, check, get out of this play. It was just built into the cadence, right?
Sure.
So you didn't need to make a big deal out of it. You know, I'd get up and I'd get, you know, get under center, you know, make my front call, you know, you're Ray or Lou, you're strong. Where's your Mike backer? And, you know, 17, go, you know, said hi. And what, and everybody just knew. So I don't know if just because we don't see Justin standing up and making a big deal, checking out of something, if that means that he doesn't have control over it. But again, that's just a guess. I don't know. Yeah, I wish I knew.
I just watched so many times Stanford, Cal, second half at Auburn, where, I mean, everything is screaming run blitz. Everything is screaming you are attacking downhill, defenses slanting into plays, and you just... You're dying for him to pull the ball down and run with it, or bootleg out, or run a play action and try to hit someone over the top of the linebackers. And I think maybe that's where some of the frustration comes in with fans. But again, it's easy for fans to sit back and say it because you're not in the huddle, you're not in meetings.
Yeah, and we're so used to seeing just explosion after explosion from well, Oregon's offense. And frankly, I think we're at a point in football where things, I mean, well, I guess rule changes have kept things balanced, or no, imbalanced towards the offense, but I think where offense and defense, at least scheme-wise, nobody's really has anything brand new and, you know, game-changing.
Yeah. Right, well, now. I think maybe Lincoln
league,
Riley.
To me, the league's a lot tougher. When you were talking about Chip Kelly rolling over teams, the league is much tougher. That Cal defense was damn good.
Defense hasn't given up three touchdowns in a game in a year and a half.
And isn't that a middle of the pack sort of, you know, team in the Pac-12?
They're going to be a 7-win team.
I just feel like Oregon, my problem with all this, everything's right. I love what you said, Joey, about just sort of the expectations. But Sook's right, too, on his points. It's just that if they go 11-1 and win games the way they beat Cal, who cares, right? It feels like we're bitching about a 1-4 team. Dude, they are one play from being 5-0.
Oh, exactly.
This is a great football team.
Exactly.
And it just looks different. Their identity is different. And that's kind of like you said, I think the best point is that's what you wanted.
It's a bigger picture. It's looking at the minutiae of this game or this failed opportunity versus looking at the big picture and saying this team is set up to win a lot of games, especially late in the season. Yeah. They're set up to win those tough games. Now, they do have to clean some things up.
And Cristobal said that today. He was on with Dirt and Sprague. He knows that.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I don't know. It seems like fans now will never be satisfied.
No, you
know?
They won't. They won't. We can establish that.
You wanted to score 60 and beat everybody, but you couldn't beat the big boys. And now you're trying to build something to beat the big boys. And you're upset because you're not beating the also Rans by 60. You can't have it both ways.
There you go.
Right, let's put a pin in it. We'll come back and talk more about the Ducks. And I want to ask Joey about all the officiating blunders in the NFL. This is Joey Harrington, normally every Friday in studio. Today, because we don't have a show Friday due to the Ducks-Buffs game, he's brought to you by BMW of Portland, Portland's only BMW dealer where relationships matter, BMWPortland.com. More with Joey next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, back in studio with Joey Harrington, who's visiting us Tuesday because Friday we have no show. You will hear Oregon, Colorado. Just wrapping up.
I can't come back Friday, though?
You can. We won't be
here. I was hoping to get two.
No, you going again?
Really? I was thinking about it, but it's,
it's a kind of a
Friday night's
the kid. Oh, it's the kids. So my wife is actually, she's up in Gonzaga this week, and she's finishing her psych mental health master's accreditation.
Oh, congrats.
Oh, she's a smart one. Yeah. But so I got the boys this weekend, and I was like, oh, after school, I'll just drive down, take them down to the Duck game. And I was like, yeah, it's a 7 o'clock game. Yeah. Game's over at 10:30. They got soccer the next morning. Yeah. It's like,
2.5-hour, 3-hour drive home in traffic.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it.
Call Phil, have him take you down in his plane.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Copter.
You know. Happening?
You know. Uber copter
Philly
now.
Baby.
Yeah.
This actually might be, look, I think this is one that hopefully satisfies Oregon fan because Colorado doesn't play very good defense. There should be some points. But I kind of want to see Oregon's defense get tested. You know, outside of the, you know, Auburn, I don't think they've played a real good offense. And Colorado can score. I don't know if Chenault's going to play. And
right.
But even without him, if you watch Colorado, Colorado's exciting. So I think, you know, as we mentioned, Cal was going to be a real test for the offense, and it was. And now mm-hmm. I think you're going to get a real test for the defense and then kind of the meaty part of the schedule. So this may be a pretty entertaining game, but from a talent standpoint, Oregon is superior in most ways than Colorado.
I don't disagree. I mean, this is, again, one of those games. We talked about it last week when we were talking about before the Cal game, yeah. that last week was going to be a test for the offense. How do they play against, look, a really good Cal defense. Yeah. This is going to be a test for the defense. How do they play against a good Colorado offense? And then you get into 3 weeks of meat.
Yeah.
I mean, three
yeah.
weeks of at Washington. Exactly. A Washington team with their back against the wall on the road.
Something to
prove. But the thing that I it makes me nervous is looking beyond this, a Friday night, short week.
Yeah. Weird things happen on Friday nights. At yeah. least it's at home.
Weird things happen in the league. Stanford just beat Washington. I mean, just this.
That's the worst
so
loss
weird.
Of the Chris Peterson era. It really is. They got beaten by backups and freshmen. There were three freshmen that weren't supposed to even play this year that were starting on the Stanford line, and UW got manhandled. That one blows me away. If you want to talk about a group that's frustrated about their offense, yeah. hey, Oregon, look up in Seattle right now if you want to talk about a frustrating offense.
Yeah, that. I always hesitate to say anything anti-Chris Peterson because I love the guy. Yeah. And this isn't an anti-Chris Peterson, but I think he would be extremely, the first to say that he'd be extremely disappointed with how they played last week.
Well, I pointed out a couple years ago when they made the college football playoff, we thought that this was the jumping off point, mm-hmm. right? This is where Washington goes from being a good program to kind of where Oregon was under Chip Kelly and then Helfrich, right?
Right.
Every year you're the favorite to win the Pac-12. You're getting into the college football playoff. You're in that conversation. Since they made that appearance and they lost to Alabama, this has not been anywhere near as good. They've been an elite defensive team. Offensively, they struggle, and they're kind of like Stanford was during their run, where they've got one or two games every year where you just scratch your head and you say, what the hell was that?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just looking at the numbers, the offensive numbers, and I think this is it's either yards or points. I know in points per game, Oregon's offense is 26th in the nation. Right, so that, like, we're sitting here griping about their offense,
a borderline top 25 offense.
Yeah, yeah, Washington, I think it's either points or yards is 103rd.
Yeah.
So these two issues are not quite
perspective.
Equal.
Yeah. Perspective. Yeah.
But again, guarantee that's going to be a tough game in Seattle. I want to ask you about the defense. What's the best defense you've ever seen at Oregon, and does this defense have a chance to match that?
Ooh. Well, the only ones that come to mind are going to go, you know, the gangrene of 94.
Yeah.
The Haloti defense of, what would have been that, 05? No, because he came in 02, 03, 04, 04, like 03, 04.
Yeah.
But 04, they didn't make a bowl game, correct? That was the year where they lost to Indiana. And
the fumble game.
Oh, the Indiana game.
Yeah, but
that was the last time they were shut out in the first half at Autzen. Did you see that stat the other night?
I did.
That's unbelievable. I remember that game.
I did.
And that was the last time they got shut out in the first half at Autzen. But anyway, defense was good.
That defense was really good. You'd have to think if they continue to play like this, that this is... And, I mean, so much of... I mean, you can be the best offense in the country and finish 7-5, you know, i.e. Texas Tech or sure. Washington State through the years, and nobody cares, yeah. right? If they continue to play like this and end up in the discussion, you know, let's say you don't make the playoff, you end up in the Rose Bowl. I mean, I think you have to put this defense, if they continue to play this way, as one of, if not the best. I mean,
so far it's an early.
Yes,
we all want to take the same. We do it in the NFL, right? We all want to take snapshots after four or five games. When the truth of the matter is, we'll know more in the next four weeks. about this Oregon yes. defense than we learned in the previous five.
Agreed.
So if they're playing this way after another five, if you're giving up 10 points a game, I think it's nine and a half.
They're
right
under.
Now.
They are under 10 points a game right now. I'd say if you stay under two touchdowns, if you yes. stay under 14 a
then
game,
you belong in that
against,
conversation.
Oh, against Washington, Washington State, yeah. USC. Yeah. If you keep them under under 20 points and yeah. you stay kind of at that 14 point average, that's a hell of a that's yeah. a hell of a defense.
And you look at what Avalos has done in just a you know his first year there, and you can see the mentality. The schemes, there isn't blown coverages, and that's a big one that jumps out at me. Just the discipline
yes.
of in the years past, I think this has been a look. It's been a team that's been prone to blown coverages and blown assignments, and you just don't see it. This team plays hard, they play fast, it's aggressive, it's multiple, but it's sound. You're not getting beat on stupid mental errors.
And they have good players.
Yes.
At every level.
At every single level. Holland is a big-time NFL player.
I'm telling you, the kicking thing is going to come back to bite them. You heard it here
first.
I
hope not.
I know. Didn't that suck?
I hope not.
If it comes out of that.
Go ask Washington the last 2 years. If Washington has a kicker, Washington's undefeated last year. You know, kicking can be a big deal, and you're going to play in some close games.
So, Joey Harrington, have you ever, because I know you watch some NFL, have you ever seen so many bad penalties called? And is it as obnoxious to you as it is to seemingly everyone else?
Yes. But the asterisk in this is with all of the rule changes that they have made through the years and the way those have been applied, and some for safety, I get it. Completely understand. It leaves me wondering if I know, do I know what pass interference is anymore? I mean, I truly, you know, you say it's a bad call, right? Okay. Well, it's a bad call based on what we have known for 30, 40 years of watching and playing football. Is that how the rule is now being interpreted? I don't know. I mean, there was a call the other day where I thought it was a hell of a play by the defender. I mean, we're talking about it was an under, you know, ball slightly underthrown. I think it was in the Seattle. But anyway, you know, ball comes in on the DB's back, who's got his back to the quarterback, and as it comes, like he turns and swats it away. I mean, I thought it was perfect, textbook. It was in the Dallas game. It was in the Dallas game because Jason led to, you know.
Oh, that led to the penalty.
My guys, yeah. that's about as angry as Jason Garrett yeah. gets. Let me take this red flag and throw it at your feet. But I don't know what a penalty is anymore.
Right. And I think passer and PI those really are the confusing.
Two, yes.
They're really confusing.
So, yes, I do think there have been some terrible calls based on how I interpret the rules. But I think what they need to do is, you know, there's been so much change over the last 4 or 5 years that I don't think that there is a foundation to know what is good and what is bad. I think we're going to need a couple more years of clarification before we say, all right, this is PI, this isn't PI. This is roughing the passer, this isn't roughing the passer. And I will say that I think referees are erring on the throw the flag side. Mm-hmm. They're erring on the, yes, that's pass interference. Yes, that's roughing the passer.
Maybe they should err the other way.
Well, but I guess you can.
You can review it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what I think is the stupidest thing is, I don't care if it has resulted in good calls or not. I think challenging a pass interference call is the dumbest thing that you could do. I can't believe they would let somebody challenge that penalty. I'm sorry. That is
too subjective.
Too absolutely.
Yeah, to me it makes more sense to challenge the roughing the quarterback because I don't think it's as subjective. Did you hit him in the knees? Did you hit him in the head? To yep. me, that's a yes or no. But when you look at like Lamar Jackson, you know, that it led to a game tying field goal. Guy hit him in the thighs, wrapped him up, slid down to his legs as he was falling down, got the flag thrown on him. Clay Matthews, that hit directly led to a score when mm-hmm. clearly it was a shoulder. See, those to me, if you're going to review a penalty, those make a lot more sense because to me, those aren't nearly as subjective as pass interference. Well, I'm with you. I don't know anymore. When I watch it, I can't tell you when they review a call. I have no idea whether or not it's going to be overturned.
And they're not changing them, right? Like the PI calls, it seems like when they review them, you go, oh, well, they'll change that.
Nope.
Never do.
No.
It's so weird.
It's confusing to me.
It is very confusing.
But it doesn't take much to confuse you.
No, it doesn't.
We've established that.
Yes.
But fans,
the number of flags, it is making it hard.
You know what, though?
To watch games.
The hard part about this is football people like yourselves and just dumb fans like me, give me a headset, I'll handle it. Call into me. Because right, like we all are sitting there on the couch and we see it and it's so obvious to us. It's like, oh, that is or isn't. It's like, what? No, in real time, it's much harder. But I just mean that it's just so, this is why it's such a heated debate, is because everybody thinks
they know.
They know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what, 25 years ago when they had instant replay and then got so sick of it that they got rid of it completely? Yeah. Do you guys remember that?
I don't remember that.
I remember when I was a kid that they used to have a form of instant replay and then they said, scrap it. I'm out. We're done. And there was a good maybe 10 years without it. I wonder if we're going to get to that point where everybody gets so sick of all these delays and all of this garbage not insecurity, but the lack of clarity that they just said, forget it. We're going back. No technology.
Going dark.
Yeah, we're going back.
Thank you, Joey. Good to see you.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of nice to see us, right?
Always nice to see you.
Oh, thanks.
I missed you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, this has been tough these 3 weeks.
I know.
When this messes over, we should, I miss your musk.
Yeah,
I miss your smell.
Well, let's go get a place up at the mountain.
There you go. Yeah, we should get an apartment together, like Ron Burgundy said.
All right, so Joey in studio every Friday at 5:30. But this week is because of the Colorado game on Friday. So thank you for making your schedule flexible. We'll talk to you next Friday. Coming up next, The Club on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.